Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
An indefensible moment of madness that I'm going to spend the rest of my life paying for. The words of top trainer Gordon Elliott last night after that image emerged of him sitting on a dead horse, the Michael O'Leary-owned Morgan. Well, the picture has plunged horse racing into fresh controversy just 2 weeks out from the Cheltenham Festival, where Elliott is due to saddle the favourite in around a third of the races. But his participation hangs in the balance because the British horse racing regulator won't allow him to compete until its Irish equivalent investigates the offensive picture. And the London Times reports this morning that the powerful Cheveley Park stud has withdrawn its horses from Elliott's yard, including the unbeaten superstar Envoy Allen. In a separate development this morning, the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board says it's investigating another video circulating on social media which shows what's believed to be a jockey straddling a dead horse on what appears to be a gallops. Well, Kevin Blake is a racing journalist and breeder and a race planner for Joseph O'Brien and joins us now. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Claire.
First of all, Kevin, this development just to hand, it is completely separate to Gordon Elliott. What more can you tell us?
I can't tell you a whole lot, Claire. At the minute, you know, there is the usual chatter about who is involved and where it has taken place, but I don't think it would be fair to mention that, you know, at this stage. It's none of those details have been verified, but look, like the image we've seen in recent days, it's just so distressing and concerning. And as you know, disgusted as people outside of racing have been by these developments, you know, you can trust me in saying that within racing, that the level of disgust is just off the scale. I've been in racing all my working life, and I can't recall an occasion where people have just been so down and just distressed about what's going on.
And that the emergence of that second video just compounds the problems facing horse racing in Ireland.
One could say that, you know, it's just. It's very upsetting. It's very upsetting because this, as bad as these images are, you know, I couldn't say with any more strength that this doesn't reflect racing as a whole, you know, and the people within it and the level of care that these horses are given and the level of respect they're given, Claire, because okay. this is what this is. This is that there isn't accusations of mistreatment here. This is purely crass, disrespectful, disgusting behaviour with animals that have passed away.
Well, Kevin, let's come back to the Gordon Elliott situation. And as I said there, it's reported that Cheveley Park stud has already moved its horses from Gordon Elliott's yard. Is that the case? What have you heard about that?
There have been rumours to that along those lines, Claire.
Well, the Times London is reporting it this morning as fact.
It's most likely the case, and that's probably going to be just the start of it, I'd imagine, Claire. Because what the BHA did last night and the move they made, it has essentially forced the hand of many of Gordon Elliott's owners that have horses that they hope to run at the Cheltenham Festival, to move them to other trainers. Because the BHA are saying that pending the completion of the IHRB's investigation, they won't allow any horses in Gordon Elliott's name to run in Britain. So that's going to speed up that process, one imagines.
So how significant is it if Cheveley Park have moved those horses?
Unprecedented, I think it would be fair to say, including, as you mentioned, Envoy Allen, you know, one of the superstars of our sport. You know, for horses to be moved from one yard to another 2 weeks before their big target is, you know, one would never dream of considering doing that. So the fact that it's happening tells you just how big this situation is.
Kevin, will you just explain to us what's happening with the process here? Because the British Racing Authority have made their decision in saying that he can't compete in Britain until the Irish regulator completes its investigation. So take us through the chain of events, how it will play out.
Well, look, the Irish regulator have been, the IHRB have been aware of this since Saturday night. It's a different type of organisation to the BHA. You know, the people that will ultimately pass judgment on Gordon Elliott, you know, they're not professionals in racing as such. They have day jobs. A lot of them are in the legal profession. And it as frustrating as it is, because everyone involved, both inside and outside of the sport, wants this dealt with ASAP. But the process being as it is, it means it's probably going to be a couple of days before they can get everyone that will need to be involved in the process together to pass judgment. And personally, I consider that completely unsatisfactory, you know, in any event. But for something that is clearly this serious, it's in everyone's interest, including Gordon Elliott's, perversely, to get this dealt with ASAP.
Okay, well, Johnny Ward, as I said, is with us, racing journalist and pundit. Johnny, is Gordon Elliott's Cheltenham gone now at this stage, would you say?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Just a couple of things. The Times hasn't reported as facts in relation to the Cheveley Park, and it's. I was on to a very good source that would have horses with Gordon this morning, and I don't believe the Cheveley Park have yet moved their horses on, but I do believe that will happen, because in relation to the question you asked, I've thought since last Saturday that Gordon is not going to have runners at Cheltenham. I can't see but the BHA reacting very, very strongly to this, and that was before the horrific video. You mentioned two videos. The first one was Gordon Elliott's. It was actually a photograph. This is a video, and as bad as a photograph is, which might be taken somewhat out of context, a video is a lot worse. So we have a Cheltenham winning trainer and a Cheltenham winning jockey now being seen to basically make a laugh of a dead horse, a beautiful dead horse. And for me to be coming on shows like this and saying that what Gordon Elliott did was an outlier, when you see that there are other people involved in these videos, somebody took the photo, somebody took the video, there are other people laughing, it just makes me sound like I'm talking, you know, nonsense. And it's very, very hard for me to defend racing this morning, even though I know that everyone, or almost everyone in racing, is absolutely sickened by this video and the photo of Gordon, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I know Cheveley Park now, just looking at it here on the London Times, they said they would wait until the IHRB investigation had been completed, but the paper reports that they appear to have had a change of heart. But as you say, fair enough, we don't have confirmation as to what they've done. Gordon Elliott's assistant trainer, Davy Condon, on Twitter has said, from my own personal experience, both as a former jockey and assistant trainer to Gordon Elliott, his absolute priority was always the care of each of his horses. One image and one lapse in judgment does not represent the trainer or the person that he is. What do you say to that, Johnny?
Yeah, there would have been a few people, you know, who worked for Gordon coming out defending him, you know, on Twitter, which is to be expected. You would imagine that his lieutenants would back him, but ultimately it's obsolete, Claire. You know, that's, you might mention Davy Condon, but the people who are, you know, reading and looking at these stories, they're not going to, you know, care about that, to be honest. They're going to look at one of the biggest names in jumps racing in the entire world, basically laughing atop a horse that was dead. Now, it was a lapse in concentration, but whether you like it or not, the person in the video that we've seen this morning, and Gordon Elliott at that time, obviously thought that it wasn't completely inappropriate to do what they did. And it just says something about, you know, their intellect and what they consider funny, because for me, it's absolutely despicable. If my pet were to die, I'd be absolutely distraught. The thought of me laughing about my pet in a photo having passed away, or the thought of me sitting on top of my pet, and to think that that animal died giving his all on the gallops,
but
in training,
Johnny,
for a trainer.
These are not pets. They're money-making machines.
They're not pets, Claire, but that is the prism through, you know, most households in Ireland have a pet. That is the prism through they will see animals. These horses are incredibly well looked after, but to think that you could treat a horse with so little dignity having passed away, I think Gordon is in a really bad way. It's his 43rd birthday this morning. I think he's deeply regretful for what has happened, but the damage to racing is unquantifiable. Mm,
right, and we know he has apologised, and he issued that second statement last night where he said, hands up, and he deeply regretted. Kevin, you wanted to come in there.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I'd agree with you, to be honest, Claire, in terms of, you know, the characterization of racehorses. You know, I wouldn't have them as pets, but also I wouldn't have them as money-making machines either. You know, the closest classification that I could come with is a work animal. You know, they're there to do a job, and while they're doing the job, and, you know, in the build-up to it and everything else, they're looked after incredibly well, because at the end of the day, Claire, and it always frustrates me when people talk about the welfare of racehorses, etc. You know, there's a very pertinent reality here in that these are performance animals, and that it is in the complete interest of everyone involved that they perform to their best. And, you know, anything other than a horse in the peak of its health and the peak of its happiness will not perform to its best.
Well, let's get Gillian.
You know, it's in everyone's interest that these horses are looked after to the nth degree.
Gillian Bird is Head of Education and Media at the DSPCA. Gillian, do you have reservations about the sector as a whole, given what we've seen?
Yeah, well, we always have. I mean, the horse racing industry, like the greyhound industry, is state-funded. And we've always had issues with the animal welfare. I mean, obviously, animals that are doing really well, they're winning races, they're bringing in money for their owners, they are treated incredibly well. But we have concerns over things like the overpopulation of the animals, which are needed to feed the industry. Huge numbers of horses and greyhounds are put to sleep every year because they do not actually reach the levels that are required for these high money races. So yes, absolutely. There are lots of issues there with the animal welfare.
There are those, though, who say that what we have seen are isolated incidents and that people who are involved in the industry at a professional level, as we've heard from Kevin and Johnny, they treat the animals with respect.
Well, the problem is that the way that an animal is treated in death can reflect how they are thought of and how they are treated in life. So, you know, there would be sort of concerns generally about how this happens, and it's not just the horses. And it can have a huge influence on how people treat animals in the outside world as well. You know, it's the whole horse racing industry is glamorizing horse ownership, which leads to people getting horses that they maybe can't afford to look after. And that's why, you know, the DSPCA is very into the whole education and working with horse groups, working with horse owners, trying to educate about the fact that, you know, often owning a horse is an awful lot more than just what people think it is.
All right, Gillian, thank you very much for joining us. Kieran Buckley, we spoke to not that long ago about your work, Kieran, as an equine dentist, and you've worked with race horses. Does this go against the kind of treatment that you typically see of horses by their owners and trainers?
Well, it would. I mean, when I first saw the photograph, Claire, like, you know, it was disbelief. And then there's actually, I don't really think there's a word in the dictionary that actually conveys how despicable and odious the whole thing is. Now, the people that I would deal with within, you know, the racing industry, yes, you can say they're there to make money. Now, it'd be on a smaller scale, but these horses become part of the family. I know I've heard the argument that say, well, they're just a commodity, but I don't care. Like, you know, it's a living creature. You treat something with respect. And to see a picture of somebody sitting astride a dead horse, making a phone call, smiling and do the V sign, it sends out all the wrong signals. And now, the people that I would be dealing with, and as I've already had phone calls, you know, from you know, owners this morning saying, like, you know, how ashamed they are to be associated with the industry, because this tarnishes everybody. You will always get one bad egg, but it's not reflective of what is actually going on. You know, the horses that I deal with, the people are looking after them. If there's the slightest problem with them, you know, they're getting things checked out. But it's a complete lack of respect for a creature. And I was watching Mick Fitzgerald there last night on Sky Sports, and I've never actually seen a professional jockey get so emotional. He was saying he owes his lifestyle to the way these horses were ridden, how he rode them, and to see something treated in this manner by, you know, somebody who's supposedly at the top of the profession, I mean, it really does defy belief. And
what do you think should happen, Kieran, in terms of a sanction for Gordon Elliott?
Well, I think, I mean, the sanctions, that'll be left to the powers of be, Claire. I mean, I know they're talking about bans or fines, but I don't know if the fines are actually going to work, because, I mean, I don't think that the money won't be a question for Gordon Elliott. I think the owners will speak volumes. I would say you probably will see owners taking their horses away. And, you know, if somebody has entrusted their horse to a trainer to bring them on and to develop it, and they see that as the final result of when the horse ends its life, either through natural causes or an accident, that's going to question them leaving a horse in somebody else's care. And I think the owners will actually, their actions will speak for themselves, because there's so much money involved in the sector.
Kieran, thanks very much for joining us. Kevin, to come back to you on Gillian Bird's concerns about the welfare of horses overall in the industry and what this tells us about what's happening. What do you say to what she has just laid out there for us this morning?
Well, Claire, look, it goes without saying I wouldn't agree. And look, the racing and breeding industries would have nothing to hide. It's not for me to speak on behalf of them, but I'd be happy to say that. And look, if you've nothing to hide, you shouldn't be afraid of scrutiny. And if any of these animal welfare groups want to come in and examine the industry, I'd imagine they'd be welcomed with open arms, because I don't feel there's anything to hide.
This picture and this completely separate video, they've put you in the position now where you're being asked this question, and the horse racing industry is being asked this question.
Absolutely. And the industry is very, very upset about that, not because the question is being asked, but because the sport and the industry has been presented in this way by this image and by this video, because we know in our hearts that it doesn't reflect the overall situation in our sport and industry.
Gillian Bird, to come back to you, is there a real question mark? Should there be serious questions asked about government funding for horse racing?
Well, absolutely, because it is the animal welfare group who end up having to pick up the pieces at the end of the day. We're the ones that have to take the horses in. We've even had situations where ex-racing horses have actually turned up in emaciated conditions in fields and have been traced back to through their microchips. Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at the horse and greyhound funding, this year they're receiving €96 million, whereas the animal welfare organisations are only receiving €3.2 million. So it's not very balanced there. If we're left picking up the pieces for these animals that are left in appalling conditions, and also the resulting glamour that goes with the horse ownership and the horse racing side of it, there's definitely a lot to be said about the funding and the whole industry of using these beautiful animals, you know, for it. Because there is, I mean, if we won't even necessarily get into the number of animals that die every year at the horse racing events, but it is always a question as to what happens to these animals when they stop winning races, stop making money, and are not suitable for breeding.
Kevin.
What happens to the animals there?
Kevin?
I just don't agree with that characterization in terms of when they stop making money. Claire, the vast, vast majority of horses in training do not make money for their owners. They cost them money. They're not doing it to make money. It is not a business. It is a pursuit of a passion. You know, that characterization is just factually incorrect. Look, there are concerns about what happens some horses when they leave the racetrack. And there have been great improvements made in the retraining of racehorses and the rehoming of racehorses. But look, the unfortunate reality, Claire, is that these are thoroughbreds. They're bred to race. And while they can be a very versatile animal and be retrained and rehomed and have very productive lives after their racing time is concluded, and not all are suitable because they're bred to race, unfortunately. And that is a challenge that the racing industry is meeting. And there are new welfare boards set up within Horse Racing Ireland in the last couple of years that are looking to give a great amount of attention and funding to addressing these concerns. Okay. And look, I'm with Gillian. I have the same concerns. Look, we love these animals. Our interests are aligned. Our opinions might be different, but our interests are aligned on the welfare of these wonderful animals.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Kevin Blake, Johnny Ward, Gillian Bird and Kieran Buckley, thank you all very much indeed. Any further developments on that story, we'll bring it to you over the course of the programme. Just some news just reaching us from the High Court, where a challenge has been dismissed. It was taken by a 2020 Leaving Certificate student over the calculated grades process adopted for the exams. The action was taken by Freddie Sherry. He was a Leaving Cert student at Belvedere College in Dublin, and he was the lead challenge on the issues, and the decision is likely to have implications for around 60 other actions brought over calculated grades. So that's just reaching us from the High Court. Coming up on the programme, we'll be asking why some over 85s may not get vaccinations by the end of this week as planned.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.